I'd like to welcome all who have come this evening. Thank you very much for coming. Before we open God's word, we'll bow and pray. Our Father, we thank thee for our Savior. We thank thee that he ever willingly came into the world, and his whole purpose was to do the Father's will, and that was to go to the cross of Calvary, where he would suffer and bleed and die for the sin of every human ever born into this world. And we would just pray for anyone in the meeting tonight who are still in their sins, who have not yet accepted the Savior. We pray that they would trust him even tonight, and they could be on their way rejoicing, and there would be joy in heaven over one sinner repenting. We just pray for help tonight. We thank thee for this privilege we have to preach the gospel and the good news it is for perishing souls. In the name of our Savior, amen. There's no youth group tomorrow night. Is that right, Michael? No youth group tomorrow night. Thursday night, this coming Thursday, is prayer and ministry, and Tim Burton's going to be here this evening, I believe. That's what I hear. And that's at 7:30. And next Sunday, 10 a.m., Breaking of Bread, Sunday school at 12, and then the gospel again at 7, Lord willing. We're going to read tonight in Matthew chapter 7. Last week at the Willows, I spoke on Matthew 25 on the 10 virgins, the wise and the foolish, and then that got me thinking about the wise man and the foolish man. So we're going to read in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll start in at verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So we have here, and even the youngest would have heard this story probably many times. I don't think there's anybody here that hasn't heard the gospel before or hasn't sat in a meeting. We have here the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon a rock. He had a foundation. He was prepared for the storm that would come. And then we have the foolish man, and he just went out and built his house and didn't think at all about what he was building it on. And the storm came, and it was destroyed. So we have here wise and foolish. And I'm not going to call anybody foolish tonight, because that's not my place. But here from the Word of God, we see the Lord Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. And then in verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. So, what are these sayings he's referring to? Well, if we turn back to verse 13, same chapter, Matthew 7, verse 13, he says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So he's imploring people, enter in at the strait gate. So we have the broad way that's referenced in the verse we just read, and then we have the narrow way, the broad way. Clearly, this is not in the Bible, but this is a map that people have taken verses from the Bible and depicted on a map. So a picture that people can, it'll help people understand what's in the Bible. We have this broad way. Everyone is born on this broad way. We're all born sinners, and we're going down to hell. And then there's the narrow way, and the door to the narrow way. That's the Lord Jesus. John 10:9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. He says, come unto me. So that's the door from the broad way through the narrow way, and that's the Lord Jesus. So he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. And that's the gate he's talking about, the door to the narrow way. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. We're going to turn over to Matthew 25 and read that parable as well. So what's on my mind tonight is preparation to prepare for eternity. Are you going to be a wise person and prepare for eternity? So Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So we have here 5 people who were wise, and 5 were foolish. 5 people that were wise, they prepared for what was coming. We're not going to get into the details about the marriage and all that. That's kind of irrelevant to what I'm talking about tonight. But it's the parable of being wise and foolish and being prepared. Are you prepared for eternity? Are you prepared to meet God? Amos 4 and 12 says, Prepare to meet thy God. Hebrews 9:27 says, And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We read about the wise man who built his house upon a rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. There's a storm of judgment coming tonight, friend. And if you're not prepared to meet God, if you're not prepared for that storm, you won't make that storm. You'll end up in the place called hell. You won't make it to heaven without being prepared. We prepare for all kinds of things in life. We prepare with our education. We prepare for a career. We prepare to go on vacations or go on trips. And sometimes we put a lot of effort into preparing and thinking ahead of everything we're going to need, everything we've got to take with us, and where we're going to go, and how we're going to get there. And we make preparations for a career, we make preparations for life. With even you get married, you make preparations. A lot of planning goes into a wedding. And people put so much time into preparing for things in this life. But how much preparation have you put into the next life, eternity? In chapter 7 of Matthew, we read there, I'm just going to look at it again so I don't misquote it. The Lord says, Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. God doesn't call a person wise because he prepares well for this life, or he does good in business, or because a person is successful in school, like maybe you've got honors in school and you're successful in business and you have a nice house and your yard is well kept and you're kind to your neighbors. God doesn't call a person wise for any of those things. He calls a person wise who has done these sayings of his and prepared for eternity. Preparing for eternity is far more important than anything we can prepare for in this world. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And preparations for things in this life, we put a lot of effort into them. Really do. Like, I maybe go overboard when we go on a vacation. We're taking the truck and the camper, and I take a bunch of spare parts with me, and brakes for the trailer, and spare tires, and a whole bunch of tools. And some people probably would think I was foolish with the amount of stuff I take with me. It's a lot of work to get ready to go. For me, because I don't want to be stuck somewhere in the side of the road, relying on somebody else. But to prepare for eternity, there's no work to do. It was done 2,000 years ago. All you have to do is just accept the work which Christ done at Calvary. Just trust him that it's enough to take you to heaven. I always think back to when Dad got saved. Not that I was there, but I think back when he tells his testimony. And he said, I just rested in the fact that Jesus could take me to heaven. It's not work. You don't have to do any work to prepare for heaven. You just have to rest in what Christ has done. It's the easiest thing to prepare for eternity. Are you prepared? Are you going to be a wise man who builds your life on the foundation of the Word of God? Or are you going to be a foolish person who just ignores this and says, I'll worry about it another day. I'll worry about it later in life when I've had a little bit of fun and I've had a good job and traveled lots. And near the end of life, when I've had all the fun there is to have, then I'll worry about this. The truth is, you don't know when the storm's coming. You don't know when the rapture could happen. There we have depicted, off the narrow way, the rapture of believers. That's when the Lord Jesus will come. He will come to the air and call all those who have been saved, who have prepared for eternity. He will call them all to be with him in heaven. And we read there in Matthew chapter 25. I'm just going to turn to it again, make sure I don't misquote it. It says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We don't know when that day is going to be. Only the Father knows. That's why it's imperative. It's absolutely the most important thing you can do and make a priority right now is to get ready for eternity. None of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. Our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What are you doing to prepare for eternity? What's the issue? What's the holdup? Why are you putting it off? Is there something else that seems more important in life? Someday, if they don't trust the Savior, they will be looking back and they'll be saying, I wish I would have dealt with that then when I was sitting in that gospel meeting, when we were in those series of meetings, when I was sitting in that Sunday school class. I wish I would have dealt with it then. We read here, I'm going to turn over, we didn't read it, but I'm going to read it. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. We'll start at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This is a serious matter, friend, to prepare for eternity, to be wise in what God wants you to be wise in, to build your foundation of your life, for your soul, on the Word of God. And to do that, It's simple, just to trust in the work which was done at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Jesus cried on the cross after he had suffered at the hands of men for hours, and then for 3 hours there was darkness that we can't comprehend, and God laid on the Lord Jesus your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world, and he suffered for all of it so that he could say, "It is finished." And then we know from other scriptures that God was satisfied with the work which he did at Calvary. God was satisfied with the payment that he made for sin. And all it takes for you to be saved tonight, to prepare for eternity, is for you to be satisfied with the work which he did. Just to accept it and to enter through that door and be saved. So we pray tonight that you would think about these words, with these things that we have read, and think about the foolish man and the wise men. And think about how foolish it is to put this matter off. Because none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. Right now, you're sitting here. You're able to trust the Savior in this moment, in this meeting. But we don't know what's going to happen tonight. We don't know what's going to happen next week or next month. You could be out into eternity before next week, before tomorrow. And where would your soul be if you hadn't prepared? We pray tonight that you would consider these things and that you would put this matter a priority and prepare to meet God in this meeting. May God bless his word.